listening to It's Confirmed with Tomiko Torres, only on LA Talk Radio.
Hey, great. Everybody's back on the air with me tonight. Glad to see there's a lot of people that's tuning in. Hope you're having a great day today. It's been beautiful. I'm coming to you live from Myrtle Beach, South Carolina, currently. The show still goes on all over the world. Wherever I am, the show is going on. We're touching on a few things from last week, just to backtrack a little bit on the King Hill case, just to keep you posted with any and all updates as any, you know, podcaster, YouTuber, any radio station, newspaper, media outlet would keep their listeners posted. Just keep one thing in mind about King Hill. His last name is not Hill, it's Mirandez. Be on the lookout for that. And also be on the lookout for, you know, he may or may not be, we don't know as of yet, with a biological dad, as the biological dad has never stepped forward to say, hey, I'm here, my son is missing. So just keep that in mind. And hopefully we can either get some closure to this, you know, for the family. Quite sure the family's looking for closure as well. But tonight we're going to move on to a story. There was a 13-year-old young lady. Her name was Alizia Carter, 13-year-old that was murdered in Philadelphia. She went by the name of Libby. There's some disturbing things in this case that people need to know. One major thing is that the killer is still on the loose and he is actively being sought by real law enforcement. Let me say that because, you know, we don't want anyone to think that fake law enforcement is looking for him by any chance. But there are some things that, that has to be revealed, such as the identity of this person. They did give a description of him. You know, there's some leads that have came in on my end as far as who this gentleman may be, may not be, and who the key players involved with this young lady's life could possibly be as well. So hopefully someone will come forward and share some real news on what may have happened the day that she left her home and to where she ended up being found at all in Philadelphia. So a lot of people that want to come forward. I'm going to throw this out there just because I can. There's a young lady who has not told me who she is, but I do know that she's 14 years old. And I'm just going to give her the name Q for now. And that is her first initial. She seems to have a lot of information concerning the surrounding events that took place in regards to this young lady's death and covering up for a young man by the name of Prince Walters, a.k.a. Prince Walters is his alias. It is a real person. Prince Walters is a real person, come to find out. Prince Walters is actually from Liberia. He came to Liberia some years ago with a cousin. They came shortly before or thereafter each other. So they were pretty much close, you know, family members. The other gentleman who is using Prince Walter's identification is his cousin. His name is, I'll give you his real name, which is Christian Duncan. Christian Duncan has been doing a lot of dipping and dodging when it comes to this case. He's been using his cousin's identity, pretending to be him, which is very dangerous because there are conversations of this young lady being sexually molested possibly by Prince Walters, whom Prince Walters does not even live in the state of Philadelphia, but this cousin is portraying to be him, which has been identified by a family member who actually raised Christian Duncan. He's a 33-year-old male that frequents with young. Well, let me say this, because I would say she's a baby. She was 12 years old, 13 upon her death, Libby. So I would look at him as more of a pedophile. The 14-year-old, we're going to backtrack to her a little bit, who I named Q, which is, that is the initial of her first name, that I have been in conversations with. She has stated that this young man, Prince Walters, is not Prince Walters. She has stated that he is, in fact, Christian Duncan. And I'm not sure how she got a copy of his bogus driver's license, but she had a copy of that as well. She seems to know a lot about this case. She's even done she's done audio recordings for this gentleman to help portray that he's not involved, and all kind of shenanigans behind her involvement, which I think maybe she needs to be found as well, and come forward with what happened to Libby, the date of her death. One shocking thing is, I actually reached out to the real Prince Walters, and he had a story to tell. And his story was, his cousin actually stole his birth certificate, social security card, and other important documents of his, and has been living under his name in Philadelphia. And not only living under his name, but he's selling cars under his name as Prince Walters. And to top all of that off, he's committing crimes under Prince Walters' name. So this is like really, really huge. And a lot of people who may know him that's on this chat line, if you can help identify his last whereabouts, because I believe he has some involvement with this young lady, her disappearance and her death, for two major factors that concern me is he's going to the beyond of unbelievable excuses to have other people create stories for him. Being 33 years old, you have a 14-year-old girl, stories about things that are not true concerning his relationship with Libby, when in fact, Prince Walters, the real Prince Walters, he has Instagram messages from Q inquiring about his cousin, Christian Duncan, and saying that Christian Duncan has not only messed around with me, but he's messing around in a relationship with a 12-year-old girl. And I know that she's 12, soon to be 13, because I saw a flyer. Now, this is Q saying this. I saw a flyer that she's missing. And then he goes, Christian Duncan, a.k.a. Fake Prince Walters, create a story for me. She creates the story. They pass the story on to a friend of the family. Friend of the family says, this sounds like it's been coerced. Which I did hear the story, and it does sound like it's been coerced. And this gentleman, Christian Duncan, who is 33 years old, is hanging out with not only the 14-year-old Q, the 12-year-old Libby, who he is in a relationship with, but he also has other young girls that he's hanging out with and being intimate with that are between the ages of 12 and 13 years old. So we're dealing right now with a pedophile, anybody's kid on the street. You know, there's some other shocking details concerning this case that cannot yet be disclosed because it's still pending investigation. But this gentleman, Christian Duncan, he was trying to send messages around to the family members of, he doesn't know her really. He doesn't know where she's at. He has no role in this. But there was something strange about his conversations. And the strangest thing about his conversations was he doesn't even entertain young girls. So he didn't know why his name was being mentioned. Up to do, because first of all, if you're 33 and you're sleeping with a 14-year-old, well, Pennsylvania law is 16 years old, consensual. I mean, you have to consent to it. It's okay. We can have sex. It's fine. But if you're 14, even if the young lady says, okay, yeah, I'll do it, it's not okay. If she's 12, about to be 13, it's still not okay. She cannot legally consent to any type of sexual activity with no one. If she's 12 and the gentleman is 14 or 15, it's still not consent. You cannot consent at that age. You are not legal to consent to having sexual activity. So if the parent says, guess what? Your kid raped my kid, he'll go to jail. So at the end of the day, people need to be mindful of age ranges and the laws, because that's very important. And for a 33-year-old man to be claiming a 12-year-old as his girlfriend to a 14-year-old girl, it's kind of strange to me that he would even put himself on the line, Mr. Prince Walters, of course, to say that's his girlfriend. But I get it. Prince Walters is not his true identity. So he's screwing up somebody else's life as being a pedophile, when in fact, Christian Duncan is the one who should be charged with molestation of not one, not two, but of three young ladies that currently have been involved with him. And it seems like he targets young ladies that are runaways. You know, there was an article published about Libby. Nothing good, of course, which was very disgusting on the media's part, because at the end of the day, she was a 12-year-old little girl who deserved to have the proper media coverage as Becky with the good hair in any other community. She may have been a lot of things, but the way they described her, they didn't describe her properly and in the manner they should have, as a 12-year-old little girl that was being taken advantage of by a 33-year-old possible sex trafficker. Keep that in mind. Philadelphia is very heavy on sex trafficking young girls. So this story may play out in a different way than people are looking at it. Like, okay, she ran away from home. She was in DHS custody. And we'll touch on DHS a little bit. First of all, if the 12-year-old is in DHS custody and they're supposed to be keeping her safe from her parents, how does a child in DHS custody get murdered? Like, where is the foster parent, and what is their role of responsibility for making sure this kid was safe at all times? So there's a lot of hiccups with this case going forward, and to shine light on it, you know, no one has mentioned really sex trafficking, but that could be a major, major situation with this young girl, especially if a 33-year-old man is calling her his girlfriend. I don't see how that could sit tight with anybody that has a little girl or a little boy, because they sex traffic both sexes nowadays. They do not discriminate. So if anyone has any information on Christian Duncan, you can feel free to send me an anonymous message. Your identity will always be private and confidential. But we need answers. This little girl was murdered in cold blood. The killer walks away. No care, no concern. No, oh my God, what did I just do? I got the gun in my hand. I'm waiting for the cops. It was an accident. This 12-year-old, 13-year-old young lady was murdered in cold blood. Mind you, she was murdered in a home that is owned by someone. So she didn't get murdered in an abandoned home. The home is owned by someone. Taxes are current. There's tenants that live upstairs. Mind you, tenants still live there. Their kids are outside playing every day. So it's something more to this story than people are willing to say. She was hanging out with people that were out of her age bracket, for one. And of course, if you're removing a child from the care of their parents into DHS / CUA custody, then your child is presumed safe at that point. But for this little girl, this was not the case. You have rules with foster care. And one of the rules are the child is never left unattended. This child was left unattended in foster care by the foster parents. So at the end of the day, where were the foster parents when this young lady just walked away from the home and got involved with this crowd that could have been possibly sex trafficking her? Who's at fault here? You know, the parents provided a safe home. The child was alive when DHS came and got her. She was alive when she went into the foster home. And then she mysteriously gets murdered and no one has any answers for the parents except for we offer our condolences. But when you took her, they said she would be safe. Not only with Libby in Philadelphia and many other states, there's been a case that I worked on personally with a child neglect case. And the foster parents, unfortunately, they were a set of twins. Unfortunately, one twin was murdered and the other twin survived the abuse under foster care. So this is a very, very serious, I won't say epidemic. I'll say it's more like a pandemic. It's a pandemic when you're in DHS. I never had the opportunity to work on DHS cases, and I don't think I would have wanted to, but I have worked with on child family service cases out of New Jersey and other states, New York. It's very sad. It's very shameful that this system is being ran in the manner when it comes to helping these little people that can't help themselves. You know, this story with Libby is more than just the hour I'm going to give you today, because we as a whole, as people, because people seem to realize that, you know, oh, wow, this happened to this kid. We as a whole are not exempt from anything today. Your kid could be walking with you and they're spraying bullets. Your kid gets hit. You know, you would want to know what happened to your child and why did it happen? You know, don't just single people out. And people sometimes have the tendency to be mean. You know, I've been reading some of the comments that they've left on several pages concerning this incident that happened to Libby. about her parents. Her parents, no one knows the life they live. They don't live in the household with them. They base everything off of assumption. Okay? And it's not good to assume, because, you know, assume usually is portrayed as you make an ass out of you and me. That is assume. That's actually how you spell it. A-S-S-U-M-E. So it's always good to know the facts before you start pointing the finger, unless you have, as another podcaster says, receipts, SP News Nuggets. If you have receipts that you can produce, as far as, you know, if the kid is missing and or a biological parent that's not in the picture, but, you know, he dropped the seed, so you have to still figure he may still be in the picture. You can perceive certain things with that. But cases like this, where you have a mother and you have a father that had genuine love for their daughter, and they were the best parents that they knew how to be. Now, everybody has a different view of parenting. So sometimes not everybody has the same parenting skills. So it's not good to prejudge anybody, because everybody has different lifestyles of living, different nationalities, different people live different ways, you know? So it's not good to prejudge and talk about a parent who has lost. Like, it's not like she's been kidnapped. Sit down and be malicious towards the parents at such a crucial time as this. And hopefully the message will get across to someone reaching out to the mother and saying, hey, is there something I could do to help you? Do you need anything? She may need grief counseling. She may need to cry on the shoulder of a stranger. Sometimes it's not about family. People have the tendency to be very mean, and social media is allowing that outlet for people to create fake profiles and be other people, such as Prince Walters, who is Christian Duncan, Liberian Prince. You know, social media will give them that extra star of the show. And that's really not what it's about. It's really about helping a parent who either has truly lost a child or truly had it a very bad situation happen to their child, and their child had been recovered. That's what social media is all about. That's why it's called social. People need to know what social really means. It doesn't mean you kill someone's character. You abuse them throughout the process. But I've been reading a lot, and these parents are going through so much right now because they still don't have answers. They still don't have closure. And until Christian Duncan can come up with the truth of his involvement in this, and also a young lady that was, quote unquote, serving as a role model for this young lady, Kelsey Lauren is her name. She served as a role model for this kid, which in turn, you know, there's been some disturbing facts that have been found out about her portraying to be a good role model for this kid. You know, at one point it was being said that Libby was actually distributing narcotics for this role model. So this may not have been a role model. Now, this is all alleged streets talk. Let's just say that, streets talk. So if Kelsey Lauren wants to ever come on and clear her name, Christian Duncan wants to ever come on and clear his name, he can feel free to do that. And so can Kelsey, and also Q, by the way. But Q, for you, we would need permission from your mother, because you're still considered a minor under adult supervision. So we would need your parents' consent before we could allow you to come on the show. And Prince Walters, the real Prince Walters, will come on the show and he will tell you that his identity was stolen. And he will tell you at this point of what's going on, he will cooperate against his family member, cousin, Christian Duncan, with all law enforcement into getting down to the bottom of the truth of what happened to this little girl and to clear his name. Because if you're that sick to pose as your cousin and with not with the real Prince Walter's face on it, but with Christian Duncan's face on it, using his cousin's identity. And his cousin is very disturbed by this. He wants to see him under the jail cell because he had at no time, no previous criminal record. And now the real Prince Walters is a career criminal. He's out here committing robberies. He's out here messing around with young girls, which is a pedophile in my eyes. He's out here distributing narcotics. He's doing everything from up under the sun criminally under another person's name and their social security number. So, of course, he would want to come on and say, hey, listen, I don't even live in Philadelphia. I live in another state that's 2,300 miles away. I couldn't be Prince Walters, who was dating a 12-year-old. And he has children of his own. So he basically wants to share his mission story and clear his name because it's been his name and some photo of him surfing around the web as this pedophile child molester who's been sleeping with a 12-year-old, allegedly. He wants to make sure that people on this channel know that he himself is not a pedophile and he himself is a victim of identity theft. So Christian Duncan can pay the penalty for what he is involved with. And another thing to look at, Christian Duncan knew this young lady and has yet to step forward as Christian Duncan. Instead of saying, hey, listen, I stole my cousin's identity. I'm really Christian Duncan. I'm 33 years old. I was sleeping with a 12-year-old and let me deal with the consequences. Or another scenario could be, I'm Christian Duncan. I know who murdered this little girl. I know the surrounding facts of it, to come forward and speak on behalf. After all, he was saying he was her boyfriend. So I don't know what kind of boyfriend that was to let his girlfriend get murdered in cold blood and he just walks away from it all and has nothing to say. So I believe he knows more than what he's willing to say at this point under his alias. Unveils eventually at the end of the day. So I need your help with people you may know that know other people, of course, to chime in, give up information, your identity won't be revealed, and help these parents have closure. They closed the casket yesterday, but this case will not close as that casket did, because we're going to get down to the truth and we're going to have facts. We're not going to go off of what he say, she say, they say. We're going to go off of the confirmed facts of who did this to this little girl and the reasons why. The parents are owed that much to have justice served for this little girl. And there's a lot of rumors going around, of course, and it's all rumors, and people will talk because they have lips. It's common in America. Welcome, folks. What kind of little girl she was. But I have a family member of hers that is going to speak out and tell you what kind of young lady this was and what she was blooming into be. She got misled by the streets. She got misled in the hands of a system that was supposed to protect her. So 12 years old, you have no sense of direction. You're only going to go on what someone tells you. Come with us, little girl. We can make sure you have a better life than your mom and dad is promising you. And the better life was, her funeral was yesterday. That was the better life that she was promising. Children, you know, you can say, you know, that wouldn't happen to my kid because my kid's always in the house. Well, unfortunately, there are stray bullets that go through windows too. You know, this is, you know, Philadelphia and it's considered the Wild Wild West, you know. So no one is exempt from anything. Keep that in mind. So if you can help out, you know, you want to take the mom some water, you want to leave a message on her page, you know, do you need any bread? Do you need any food? You know, anything you can do to help out. You know, this was a tragedy for these people. And I can't even imagine if I had to bury my child under those circumstances. And by the way, DHS, CUA, the system that they have currently, the security gate, that security gate that's set up that is supposed to be locked and protected for the youth. Okay. I think there needs to be better qualifications for kinship givers and also foster parents. I don't think this agency is doing a very good job at background checks when it comes to placing these children in a home. It's kind of scary to me. So when I think about, okay, my kid is in the system, they're with a great family. Until you find out that this family has drug charges, drug manufacturing charges. They have issues with their own kids, their adult kids. You know, how do you place a child in care of someone that has these type of issues? And I'll tell you, Libby was placed with a foster parent last year, her first foster home that she went into. The foster mom says, hey, it's Christmas time. I want you to have a cell phone. Would you like a cell phone? Not knowing this was the weakness of why this child was removed from the home. The child was removed because she was considered an out of control social media teen that grew up on social media before her time. So what does mom and dad do? They take away the telephone. They take away the telephone because they realize that this telephone is causing issues for their child. So now she's at, I'm going to give you what was taken away. What happens? She connects with an older man on social media by the name of Christian Duncan. And Christian Duncan comes and picks her up in his car one night. And guess what? Now that family is saying, oh, she ran away. Well, who does she know to run away to? They gave her a weapon. And that weapon was that cell phone that actually introduced her to Christian Duncan, because she never knew of Christian Duncan, Prince Walters. She never knew anything about these people ever. So this cell phone was a part of her tragedy, you know, and people seem to think social media is good for these kids today. They're acting out. They go to social media and they start venting. And then they say, well, you know, I got my new friends on social media that I can talk to, you know? And of course, like any young girl would do, and it has been confirmed that they do it, which is they lie about their age. She lied about her age. But stupid him for not asking for ID. You're a grown 33-year-old man. You just meet a woman on social. Excuse me. She didn't even look like a woman. She was 105 pounds, 5'2". Maybe she was 105 pounds wet, soaking wet in the rain, pouring down storm. No way in the world you would have ever looked at her and said, she's a woman. That's kind of sick and demented. So this weapon that was used that basically set her up for her death. So you have a pedophile, and there's millions of them running around on social media portraying to be other people. And people need to know, you need to protect your children from this weapon called social media until they are a legal age to independently make decisions that are good and bad. So they'll know that they can sense a pedophile a mile away. So this weapon that was formed for this young lady that was given to her by her foster parents, the safe haven, okay, when didn't provide the true safe haven for this kid, it makes you kind of wonder, why was she even removed from the home in the first place? Because while she was with her parents, she was alive and she was breathing. So it seems like somebody set her up for her own death. That's what it appears to be to me. And there's many ways you can look at this thing. I'm not going to be the finger pointer. It's your fault. It's your fault. What are you going to say? You're going to blame mom and dad? You got to keep in mind, while mom and dad had her, she still had air in her lungs. You keep that in mind. Nothing was wrong with this kid when she was removed. She was eating. She was healthy. She was going to school. Foster care. School became null and void for this kid. So if you're performing a job to make sure that your foster parent is qualified under the rules that you govern, then they should be followed, because at the end of the day, it's millions of other kids, not just Libby, that their final call home is in a casket. They never make it back home, a lot of these kids. It's a system that is set up very awkward. And if you're not paying attention to your kids now, you need to really look at what they're doing on social media today, not tomorrow, today. Be that parent that says, hey, give me a phone. Let me see what's going on. To look and see what's going on in your child's life on social media. But on the other hand, if your child is being removed from your custody and you have no say-so about it, because you are the parent that took away the cell phone, because you saw the problems with it, and your child is being removed because of that, then somebody has to give something better than just some answers to finalize the story about Aliza Carter, Libby. And someone out there, you have information. You know Christian Duncan. That's not Prince Walters. That's Christian Duncan. So people, you know who Christian Duncan is. He sells cars. He goes to several boxing gyms. He participates in a lot in Philadelphia. So he's not hard to miss. And it's also people that grew up around him when he came from Liberia that know him and his cousin very well. That's why they were able to identify, that's not Prince, that's Christian. So when you're able to identify someone, you can say, I know him, and he is telling a lie. And And all along, I'm thinking, okay, young guys, they do stupid things. Okay. Maybe Christian Duncan wanted to be, you know, an older guy, but he's really a kid. The real Prince Walter say, no, I'm the younger one. I'm 27. He's 33. So that's how we have confirmation of his age. And spoke with some of his family members. And they also said that, you know, he has stolen this identity and has been doing this for some years now. And to date, the police have done nothing about it. So again, with the efforts of the real Prince Walters, he's going to try again his efforts along with my help and my team to actually get him his identity back, his real identity. So he's not pulled over by the cops. You know, if this guy has a warrant, Christian, who's AKA Prince Walter, if he has warrants, no one that's getting arrested. And not only that, but it may be a whole bunch of other charges that no one still knows about. So not only seeking to get this criminal off the street, but this alleged pedophile off the street and get him somewhere where people that do things like this belong, and that's in prison for a very long time. And I do believe he may even know who may have had their hands in this murder against his 12-year-old girlfriend. So I believe that he has some knowledge of what took place. And his 14-year-old Q that is making up stories for him to say, you know, she was plotting his murder. And she didn't mean it. And all this other crazy stuff she's come up with so far with excuses. As any 14-year-old kid would do. They go in and out. They don't seem to remember much. They come up with different stories. So you don't know the truth from the false until it's been confirmed. So there's a lot of more things that you need to know concerning this case that I can't disclose to you as of yet, but I will have his cousin, Prince Walters, next week on the show. I will have Libby's uncle on the show so we can clear up her real identity of who she really was and not the garbage that was put out by the media of who they thought she was. And also, we'll still have our hands in on the King Hill case until the chapter is officially closed for him and the truth comes out about whatever happened to him. That case will remain open. I'm not sure if it's open anywhere else, but on it's confirmed it will remain open. And I received several threats in regards to the King Hill case to be silenced. I would think that if you are truly looking for someone, you don't care if it's a bum on the street that's running down the street naked, holding your kid's picture, saying, I'm trying to help find this kid. You know, I would just be under the assumption that the family members and friends of the family members wouldn't post threats instead of saying, you know, let's try to get to the bottom of this so we can move on with our lives and have clarity on what really happened to him. And by the way, if you like to follow up, I'm not the only person that is, you know, moving forward with the King Hill case. There are past updates on SP News Nuggets and also another podcaster, The Planet T. She has a lot of updates on King Hill's case, King Miranda's. So there are other people out here. There's some people in Hawaii that actually have a podcast going still on King Hill. So I want you all to know I'm not the only one. So don't single me out like, you know, she's the only one talking about him. Everybody deserves to get their recognition for putting in their helping hand of getting closure for the family so they can move on. And all of the people that have been following this case and volunteers, church members, law enforcement in the Philadelphia neighborhood that has put in substantial amount of time looking for this kid, you know, and still probably looking for clues and things. So it's probably not still totally closed out, but everybody's still putting in a helping hand. And I would like to say personally, thank you to all of those that have followed the case and gave clues to the case and hopefully can add more clues to the case. And I'd like to thank a cousin who came on my show not too long back and gave us more, you know, information and details so we can look at this from different perspectives and hopefully get him back on the show, because there's still some missing pieces to some of the things that he said that I went over that I need closure to. And I do have someone from the Hill family that has contacted me that would like to come on the show, but they would not to be shared, but they do have some information they would like to share about King Hill and some things that they know from personal one-on-one knowledge. So I plan on keeping you updated when they intend on coming onto the show to share their information so you guys can have a better insight. Hopefully within the next two sessions of my show, It's Confirmed, airs, we should have a date and time scheduled for them. And also next week, please join me again. And I look forward to everybody coming in and, you know, chiming in and sending me messages and giving me clues so we can help add closure for the Carter family. And be very mindful to reach out to the parents and just ask them if they need a helping hand, because like I said, nobody's exempt from anything else. So just know the importance of giving that social support and not social, you know, abuse of words towards the parents. This is a very, very painful time for them. And I can't stress that enough. But I just wanted to let you guys know. I'll see you next week. And thanks for joining. Have a good evening.
You're listening to It's Confirmed with Tomiko Torres, only on LA Talk Radio.